from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to another episode of Phillies Today. I'm Kyle Forsini, and it's not going to be a happy episode. It's not going to be one to look at the Phillies' overall season as a whole and say they've gotten to this point of being 24 games above 500, and we should be happy about that, because even though they're going through a rough stretch, they are still the best team in baseball record-wise, and they're still way above 500 and 8.5 games above the Braves and 9 above the Mets. That's not the way I'm taking this today, because the game last night against the Yankees and the last 2 to 3 weeks of the Philly season as a whole have been an utter embarrassment, have been a complete joke of Phillies baseball that we have been watching now for what seems like months. Now, it's really only been the month of July, but it's felt like it has been a prolonged period of time that this Phillies team has not been up to par, has not gotten the job done on a night-in, night-out basis, has not played good, sound, fundamental baseball in a really, really long time now. And it has been frustrating as fans to sit out there and watch. If you've gone to games, you've likely been frustrated. If you've watched the games from the comfort of your couch at home, you've been frustrated. If you've listened to the games on the radio with Scott Fransky, you have been frustrated, because this Phillies team, from top to bottom, from stars to platoon players, to role players, to pitchers, have not been good enough. And it's been happening now for a prolonged period of time. They now only lead the Dodgers for 2.5 games for the best record in the National League. They lead the Brewers by 4 games now. Don't think anybody thought for the majority of this season we were ever going to have to worry about the Phillies playing in the first round of the playoffs. Yeah, that's on the table now with how bad they've played. They've allowed the Brewers to now climb to within 4 games. And quite frankly, I don't know where the end in sight is for this awful stretch right now. I don't, because you've got 2 more games coming up against the Yankees now. You face Gerrit Cole today, and you've got Aaron Nola on the hill against the Yankees offense that's prone to hitting home runs, and guess what? He's prone to giving up home runs. So those two things do not feel like they mesh well together. And then you've got Christopher Sanchez on the hill on Wednesday after Aaron Nola, and I don't know how Christopher Sanchez is going to fare. He hasn't necessarily pitched well lately. He's already way over the innings mark that he's had for any season so far in his big league career. Is he going to be able to pick up the slack? And then after that, you go out on the road for 10 games, and you play Seattle, you play the Dodgers, and you play Arizona. And you go out west, and you've got a tough, tough west road trip where they have not played well on the road, period. They're 2-7 in their last 9 road series. The 2 series that they've won on the road have been against the Tigers, and they've been against the Cubs. 2 teams that are below 500. Well, every team that you're playing on this stretch of baseball coming up when you go for those 10 games on the road, yeah, guess what? All of those teams are above 500. One of those teams is directly behind you in the standings in the National League for the best record. Another team is surging right now in the Arizona Diamondbacks and is playing great baseball and just walked off the Nationals last night after trailing a game 6-0. Yeah, they came back and got 5 in the ninth and ended up winning that game. The other team you face, the Seattle Mariners, has made deadline moves much better than you have made for a team that is barely above 500 and fighting for their contention lives. But yet here we sit with the Phillies, 65-41, 3-7 in their last 10 games, have lost 4 consecutive series, 5 consecutive series openers after that Yankees debacle last night. And Dave Dombrowski and company have legitimately sat on their hands, have not done much at all to make this Phillies roster better. They go out and get a closer who knows if this guy can actually get it done. If you look at his advanced stat, I mean, a 56%, I believe, fly ball out percentage, that's not going to play well at Citizens Bank Park. And then your other deadline acquisition of Austin Hayes looked completely overmatched last night against Luis Gil and has looked completely overmatched essentially in his entire Phillies career so far. But yet they're going to be content with getting a nine-hole hitter at the deadline and then also getting a shaky closer. They're content with essentially platooning Brandon Marsh and Johan Rojas in center field when Brandon Marsh's coming off of the IL back in June had 98 plate appearances prior to last night and had struck out 44 of them. They're content with having Johan Rojas, who realistically only provides you defense. I mean, if you watch Johan Rojas, you know that the guy has absolutely nothing to provide for you at the plate. But they're content with being obsessed with having him go out there and play good defense because that's what they think is going to be the most paramount when it comes to the playoffs. And by the way, I got news for you. This Phillies team made a World Series and did not lose the World Series because of bad defense. With Nick Castellanos in right field and Kyle Schwarber in left field and Brandon Marsh being your everyday center fielder. That's what they went through in 2022 when they actually made the World Series. So for all this obsession that the Phillies front office and the Phillies have had with defense as of late, with wanting to keep Johan Rojas because of the fact that he provides you great defense and they think the bat might come around, and because of the fact that they will platoon for a while until they got Austin Hayes, Brandon Marsh in left field, because him in left and Rojas in center, that provides you the best defense that you're going to get for your starting nine. Well, they've proven that that doesn't actually matter. That the defense is not actually the biggest thing you need to think. I mean, this team got to a World Series with Rhys Hoskins dropping balls at first base on routine double plays. Just flat out dropping. But yet, for whatever reason now, we are stuck in this way of thinking where defense is what comes first. And the lineup that has been so dreadful for the last couple of weeks, stars included. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit and talk about how, you know, that is incredibly concerning and how it's what we've seen for the last year and a half now after that, or the last year after that debacle against Arizona. How when your stars don't play well on this team, and maybe they misallocated some resources, by the way, because we can't call Nick Castellanos a star. He's got $100 million. It doesn't make him a star. It doesn't mean he should be the only Phillies player that's played every single game so far this year. But that's where we're at. Those Phillies stars that I mentioned, Bryce Harper's one for his last 20. Trey Turner is one for his last 16. Alec Bohm has three RBIs in the month of July. And JT Realmuto, since coming off of the IL, has two hits. And quite frankly, looks overmatched by any pitch that's thrown to him. You couple that in with the fact that Zach Wheeler starts a game last night, and then in the ninth inning, Garrett Stubbs is on the mound for the Phillies. That's not a recipe for success. And I don't want to harp on Zach Wheeler that much, because let's be honest, it's a really tough lineup. He was getting squeezed a little bit last night, sure. But I mean, just a terrible, terrible stretch for this team that all culminated in a humiliating loss. Humiliating loss. You've got a position. The Phillies against top teams this year. Now, who would you label as a top team? I'd say the Dodgers are a top team. I'd say the Guardians are a top team. I'd say the Orioles are a top team. I'd say the Yankees are a top team. I wouldn't put the Brewers in that category yet because I don't fully believe in the Brewers. And I know, like I said, they're four games behind the Phillies. They're rapidly approaching the territory of potentially overtaking the Phillies. But those four teams that I mentioned, the Dodgers, the Guardians, the Orioles, the Yankees, Phillies have not fared well against those teams. Now, I get it. They did sweep the Dodgers, but guess what? They were also missing Tyler Glass now. Mookie Betts wasn't playing, and their hitters were in cold funks. They were not playing the baseball that the Dodgers are now starting to play. They didn't have Tyler Glass now then. They got to face Landon Knack and Bobby Miller and, you know, a who's who of nothing. They didn't have Yamamoto in that rotation ready to face the Phillies then. So they do sweep that series. The Orioles series, lose 2 out of 3. The Guardians series, lose 2 out of 3. The Yankees get absolutely demolished in game one of that series to force yourself to have to try some way, somehow, to win the second two games of the series just to win it. We used to talk about how this team, when they came home and when they were done road trips, because they haven't been playing well on the road for a while now. I mean, ever since that Colorado series, I mean, they have not been playing well on the road. But now, all of a sudden, that's bleeding into coming home for series. And they're not playing well at Citizens Bank Park all of a sudden. They're about to lose if they lose this series to the Yankees, which, guess what? Wouldn't be shocked if they do. You think this offense, the way this offense has been playing right now, is going to hit Garrett Cole today? Probably not. Probably not. Let's just be honest. They're going to lose their third straight home series. And they lost to the A's at home, which was the start of this entire debacle. I mean, it felt like it was, like I said, even though the Dodgers were not the team that you would assume the Dodgers to be when they came to Citizens Bank Park, when they swept out that series, it was the high point of the season. It was like the Phillies just took it to the team that's directly behind them for the number one seed in the National League and essentially made them look like they were so inferior they didn't belong in the same ballpark. And then they follow that up by losing game one of a series to the A's, losing the entire series to the A's, losing games one and two in Pittsburgh, losing game one in Minnesota, losing game one at home against the Guardians, and then getting embarrassed last night at home against the Yankees. And on that Yankees point, now, I don't go to Phillies games when they are at an opposing team's ballpark very frequently. So I'm not making the trek up to Citi Field. I'm not making the trek up to Yankee Stadium or Fenway or any of the ballparks that are, or Washington. And in Washington, it's not really in the same category because they're not as good as these teams. But I'm not going to the games usually when they are playing those types of teams. You know, I'm not making the travel, the trek up the Turnpike or down, you know, towards DC or Baltimore to watch the Phillies play. I just don't do it. And I'm sure Phillies fans do. But I'd be shocked if the fans of, you know, the Phillies fans overtake a stadium like the Yankees fans did last night at Citizens Bank Park. Now, of course, the majority of the fans were Phillies fans. I'm not saying that the Yankees fans overran it and there were more Yankees fans than Phillies fans. That might have happened if the Phillies had 20 wins at this point in the year. But, of course, that's not the way that it was. But the Yankees fans were loud, and the Yankees gave their fans a way to show that they were overtaking that stadium. Because from the first home run that Aaron Judge hit in the first inning, and I was at the game last night, from the first home run that Aaron Judge hit in the first inning, right out of the chute, the cheers you heard for a Yankees home run made you sit there and think to yourself, am I really at Citizens Bank Park right now? I mean, they're going ballistic for an Aaron Judge home run. And then Ben Rice hits one. And it's like the same thing. The fans just going crazy, just getting excited. Phillies fans trying to drown out let's go Yankees chants that have been going on throughout the entire game. Embarrassing. And I would be shocked if the Phillies played at Yankee Stadium if their fans would be able to do the same thing that Yankees fans did last night. Just saying. I'm not saying that that's a good or a bad thing. I'm just telling you the experience that I had at that game last night and the atmosphere that was in that ballpark. Yankees fans, I got there early. I was walking into the stadium around 5:15. Yankees fans were everywhere. There were huge buses that were clearly busing Yankees fans into the game, into the stadium, making the trek down, you know, as big groups to go and sit, you know, in the same general area and make noise at Citizens Bank Park. And I was embarrassed. Now, again, the Phillies gave us absolutely nothing to cheer for. So is it really the fact that the Yankees fans were that, you know, there were that many of them were there, or was it the fact that the Yankees just played that much better? They had a reason to overtake and cheer for their team. Probably the latter on that. But regardless, it was embarrassing because it's another series opening game that the Phillies have seemingly completely flopped in, have not been ready to play from the shoot. Zach Wheeler just did not have it last night. And it's frustrating because the two worst starts of Zach Wheeler's season so far this year, gave up 7 runs in both, have been against the Orioles and the Yankees, two of the best teams in baseball. He can dominate some of the mediocre to not so good teams, but when he's faced two of the top teams in baseball, Zach Wheeler has completely struggled, has not had his A game against two good lineups. Now, I'm not saying I'm worried about Zach Wheeler, and I'm not saying that I have this, again, worried about him going down the stretch, because I'm not, because Zach Wheeler is still Zach Wheeler, and I will still always have faith in Zach Wheeler because of how good he's been throughout his entire Phillies tenure. But I didn't love what I saw last night. I didn't love watching him get shelled for home run, walk, walk, single, double. I mean, the big guys in that Yankees order, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, they performed. They went out there and did everything that they could to help the Yankees win. The middle of our order, the Trey, the Bryce, the Bohm, nothing. Alec, they had one hit combined there. Alec Bohm had a swinging bunt up the third baseline. Just abysmal performance all around from a Phillies team that, again, has fallen asleep in a series opener, which is incredibly frustrating because the Yankees and the Guardians, the last two series that are in your ballpark, you have not showed up and been ready for. Teams that you could see in the World Series if you got there. These should be the series that you are excited and get up to play because these are teams that are coming in here. You've got a target on your back with the record of the best team in baseball, though you're not playing like it. They are coming in, they've got that target on your back saying, no, I think we think we're the best team in baseball. We're going to come into your ballpark and show you that. And both teams have. Both teams have clearly showed that. That at least for right now, they are far better than what the Phillies are putting out there on the field. And is it panic time for the Phillies? No, of course not. It's not panic time when you're 24 games above 500 and still sitting 8.5 games above second place in your division. I'm not saying it's panic time, but what I am saying is I'm concerned because what we have seen destroy this team in the playoffs the last 2 years is exactly what's going on right now. And we had not seen that from the Phillies really at all so far this year. We had seen bad play, we had seen bad pitching, but we had not seen the bats go quite as cold as they have right now. We haven't seen it where, and by the way, when this Phillies team feels that they are not hitting well, like we saw in the NLCS last year and like we're seeing right now in the regular season, when they start pressing and guys feel like they need to be the hero, that is the worst version of the Phillies offense. And Trey and Bryce are clearly going through that right now because Trey is looking like the Trey you got for the first 4.5 months last year versus what you got every month after that. And Bryce, I mean, I've never seen it so clear that Bryce Harper is pressing and Bryce Harper is just incredibly angry right now. And Bryce fuels and plays really, really well when other people are fueling him, when other teams are giving him bulletin board material, when fans are behind him chanting overrated. That is when Bryce Harper is at his best. That's when he will perform and hit you the home runs. When Bryce is not at his best is when he is frustrated with himself and showing that. When he is fouling a ball off against Cleveland the other day and screaming and cursing at the top of his lungs so much that you can clearly hear it on the TV camera, that is not the Bryce Harper that you want to see because that's the Bryce that gets tense. That's the Bryce that tries everything he can to hit the ball out of the ballpark and try and get back on track, and he just isn't able to do it because when you're trying to hit home runs, you're not going to hit home runs. When you're pressing at the plate and all you can think about is, I need to get a hit, I need to do it right now, that is not when you're going to be at your best. And that is where we see Bryce Harper right now. That, in large part, is where we see Trey Turner right now. That's where we've seen Nick Castellanos for seemingly all season. That's where, I know Brandon Marsh had a good night last night, but that's mainly where we've seen Brandon Marsh. Again, 98 plate appearances before last night's game since he came off the IL, Brandon Marsh. Struck out 44 times. That's almost half of the at-bats. And in a strikeout. That's tough to do. That's really, really tough to do. And the Phillies' big trade deadline acquisition is Austin Hayes, a nine-hole hitter. A nine-hole hitter who clearly is struggling against right-handed pitching because they faced one lefty since he came here. But last night against Luis Gil looked entirely overmatched. Looked like we had a Castellanos Jr. for a guy who swings at a pitch low and away out of the zone. A nine-hole hitter and a shaky reliever is what Dave Dombrowski has done at the deadline to try and put this team over the top. And I'm telling you, watching the last couple of games and especially the last few weeks, it's made me think this Phillies team that I had, said for weeks, I did not want them to trade away their big prospects. I did not want them to make that many big moves because I thought this team could still do it. I thought as long as you maybe bolster the bullpen ever so slightly and you get one bat, an outfield bat that's comparable, that can play every day and is a solid hitter, that would be enough for this team. We've seen them get derailed the last two seasons by not hitting in the clutch, by not hitting when they needed to hit. Guys all went cold at the same time, and that is the exact problem the Phillies are in right now. When Bryce Harper is cold, Trey Turner magically is cold. Kyle Schwarber magically is cold. Alec Bohm magically is cold. JT, forget about it. He's come off the IL. He's been ice cold. It's like I've never seen him like this. And that's where they are. And that's where they were the last two postseasons. You ride high against Houston in game three, you hit the five home runs, win 7-0, all of a sudden the offense disappears and you get no hit the next night and the series is over. You go up 2-0 against Arizona, you win 10-0 in game two, you go out to Arizona for games 3 and 4 and 5, and all of a sudden you're a no-show. And you come back home with a 3-2 lead, and all of a sudden you have no idea how to hit at Citizens Bank Park again, and you let a 6-seed come in and win the pennant on your turf. And we're seeing that again right now, and that is incredibly concerning. Again, I am not saying that it's panic time for this Phillies team. I am not saying that you should be worried that they're not going to make the playoffs, because of course they're going to make the playoffs. The Phillies have built up that insane, you know, first half where they didn't play anybody good, but they got that huge lead, you know, in the standings and got so far above 500 that you don't really need to worry about them missing the playoffs. But you do need to worry about the current state of the team. And you do need to worry that what we're seeing right now is likely going to flare up again at some point in October. Because the playoffs are not a 2-week period. The playoffs are not a 1-week period. You don't, you know, when this Phillies team is hot, sure, they can be hot for a week, maybe even 2 weeks. But that cold stretch is always coming. And the playoffs are going to take you about a month if you want to win the World Series. And can this team stay hot for an entire month? I don't know. I'm not confident that they can. I'm not confident that we could see them be hot from October 3rd to November 5th. I'm really not. Because they have a bunch of streaky hitters that are home, in large part, a lot of them can be home run or bust. And when they're not hitting those home runs, it's not good. It is not good. And real quick, because we got to wrap up here in a minute, not going to whip it around Major League Baseball. Just too much to get into with the Phillies. Just too much to talk about with the Phillies today. We will go back next week to the regularly. I'll talk about Major League Baseball. And I really wanted to be able to talk about Major League Baseball today because of the amount of trades that have happened. There have been a lot of teams that have made moves that maybe you wouldn't think. The Cubs acquired Isak Paredes. It was like, what's going on here? They traded away Christopher Morel and a couple of prospects. But it was like a team that's, the Rays are in a better spot than the Cubs are. And they're trading away a better, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But the Cubs did it. And if you missed it, the Braves last night got Jorge Soler as well. So, you know, be on the lookout for them. They've been linked to Garrett Crochet as well. I don't think that the Braves are just going to stand pat and let this season play out the way it has been, because they have not been good. But again, next week, I will touch on as much trade deadline stuff that had happened. I know it'll be a week removed for that point. But I will touch on teams that, you know, made moves and see how those guys are doing on those teams as we get to next week. But real quick, because it's the end here, I'm going to come right out and say it. I think it's important in this business, you know, the radio stuff, to admit when you were wrong and to have accountability on stuff like that. And I'll come right out and tell you, I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. I sat here and I told you for weeks on end that I did not want the Phillies to trade away any of their top prospects. I didn't. I wanted them to keep those guys and have those guys come up at some point down the road, maybe a couple of years, maybe next year, who knows, and keep this team winning and keep this team afloat even when these older core guys get older. And I was absolutely wrong about that, because if Dave Dombrowski ends this trade deadline with Austin Hayes and Carlos Estevez, it is a failure. It is a monumental failure of a trade deadline if that's what Dave Dombrowski has it end up being. Because if you want to get the best players, if you want to make an actual difference on your roster, on your team, to ensure that you're going to go somewhere in the playoffs. And again, baseball's a crapshoot. You can never ensure it. But if you want to give yourself the best chance of having a chance to go in October and make a deep run, and you want to add and get the best players on your team, you are going to need to give away some of the best in order to get to that point. You can't just keep skating by trading away Sir Anthony Dominguez and Christian Pache and George Klassen and Sam Aldegari. And that's not going to get it done for you. You're trading away guys that are okay, but you're going to get an okay return for that. If you wanted a Randy Arozarena, or you wanted a Luis Robert, or a Cody Bellinger, or someone to that effect, yeah, you're going to have to part ways with somebody that maybe you don't really want to part ways with. But if you want to be a team that's got a chance come October and has a chance to win the World Series, you can't keep doing these Band-Aid fixes like they've done the last three deadlines now, and expect that these guys are just going to return to form that they might have had at some point in their career, and then they're magically going to get it back. Because Austin Hayes, yeah, he was an all-star last year. He's not going to be an all-star again in his Phillies career. You can see it. A mediocre return for a mediocre giveaway. That's what the Phillies have done at this deadline. And it's a shame that that's how this has gone. It's a shame because this team needs upgrades, and I don't think they're going to get them. All right. That's going to do it for me on this episode of Phillies Today. Not a happy one. As you can tell by the tone of my voice, seemingly all episode, I couldn't wait to come in and record this one just because of how annoyed I've been with the Phillies, and I needed to vent, let out the frustration. And really, if you're out there listening and you're thinking the same thing, give you some validation that, yes, this is okay to think like this. It's okay to not necessarily say I'm panicking, but it's okay to be frustrated and not enjoy the ride the Phillies have had you on for the last month. We'll come back next week. We'll talk a lot about Major League Baseball as a whole. We'll see how the Phillies are, hopefully, winning some games. And we'll reconvene next week. Everybody have a great rest of your day. Go Phillies tonight, as it's Aaron Nola versus Gerrit Cole on the hill.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.